sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein we greatly rejoice, though now at for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. A portion of God's holy word. Thanks be to God.
Today I want to share with you from the text that was read, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 through to 9. I want to look at a glorious hope. A glorious hope. Let us pray. God, we thank you that you are always near to us, that you listen to your people. May you speak therefore into our hearts now, a word of strength, a word of hope, a word of power. Through Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Hope is one of the things in life that all of us, as God's people, aspire for. And I believe that one of the problems in our world today is that there are many persons who are looking for hope in the wrong places. And as a result of that, many lives today, their hope have been dashed to pieces. But I want to remind us that our hope in Christ Jesus is not a cosmetic hope. It's not a figment of our imagination. But if we read Peter well, it is a practical hope. It is a realistic hope. One that does not diminish with time or circumstance. Here Peter, in verse 3 of the text, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a living hope through the resurrection of Christ from the dead. What is he saying to you? What is he saying to all of us? Is that when we speak about hope, and this hope is not centered and united, but this senator and rats. Then we are speaking about a living hope. We are talking about a life-giving hope, a hope that is sure and steadfast, because this hope is rooted and grounded in our faith that is born out of a living relationship with a mighty and powerful God. That is why, irrespective of what is happening around us, God's people are not hopeless. But God's people, their faith is not in the system or their strength, but their faith is in Almighty God. So as we seek to understand this text that is before us today, the first thing I want you to understand is there is a living hope that transforms our life. There is a living hope that transforms our life. What is this hope? This hope comes from God Himself. But too often, hope is placed in the wrong place. Some people, their hope is in their bank account. Their hope is in their family. Their hope is in their jobs. Their hope is in their friends. But I want you to understand that any hope that is not placed in Christ Jesus is a fragile hope, and one that can fail at any time. But the hope of God's people is rooted in God, the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. A hope that cannot fail. A hope that is true. A hope that is sure. And a hope which is eternal for all of us who believe in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For our sin is an offense to God. He could have cast us away forever. But in His mercy, in His grace, God has sent Jesus to us. And because of what He has done, hopelessness has now been transformed to a glorious hope that is in Christ Jesus. For this hope that we talk about is about a new relationship. This hope is about a second birth. Because by our first birth, we were born sinners. We grew up as rebels against God's grace and God's will. But God in Christ Jesus has given us this new hope. Because by our new experience in Christ Jesus, we are now children of God. We are received a new nature. We can now please God. And here we are amidst the corona crisis. We are not a people that are hopeless, but we are a people who still believe that in the midst of what is happening, that there is hope in King Jesus. And this hope is made sure by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. That's what Peter said in verse 3. He said, "Blessed be the God who has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." What a glorious assurance that our existence is not in us, but it is in Christ Jesus. You see, my friends, if Jesus has just died on the cross, we could not have been saved, nor could we speak about hope and forgiveness. But he did not stay there. He rose from the grave. His resurrection power, his what we celebrate today, is what we speak about in terms of a hope that cannot be shaken in the midst of our crisis. God in Christ has made hope of possible for all of God's people. His resurrection, it has also proved that he's able to give a new life, that we too are raised from the death of sin into the glory of a new life. That is why we speak about hope in Christ Jesus. The beautiful thing about understanding this hope that God gives, it's not a temporary hope. It's not a hope that is here today and is gone tomorrow. This hope cannot die, for this hope is firmly rooted in a relationship in Christ Jesus. So no matter what the circumstances of life are, God's people still have hope. But we know that in Jesus Christ, better days are coming. Our relationship is not static or dogmatic, but our relationship is in a living God who gives us hope. So we know that if we live long enough, one day our health is going to fade. One day, all the things that we have planned for in this world, we are going to leave it, and maybe it will leave us. But this hope is born out of a relationship with Christ Jesus. We are not only a people for today, but we are a people for tomorrow. We are not crushed by the circumstances of life, but our faith takes us above our situation. What is hope cannot be crushed by the circumstances of life. But this hope is in Jesus Christ. This hope is a life-giving hope. But Peter is also saying to us, secondly, that this is a hope that assures us of our inheritance. This is a hope that assures us of our inheritance. What are we talking about? Our inheritance is something that we do not earn, but we receive. And to receive this inheritance that we talk about in this text is to affirm the fact that Christ died for us, so that we who are destined for inevitable destruction, we who have no inheritance in the future, Christ by his death has made our inheritance secure. Here the writer in verse 4 of the text, to our inheritance incorruptible and undefined, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven in the heart. It's a hope that does not fade away. It's a hope that cannot diminish. It's a hope that nothing can shake. That's why the songwriter said, my hope is dim and nothing left. And Jesus' blood and his righteousness. For it is still on Christ the solid rock I stand. All of the ground is safe. What a glorious assurance to know
that whatever is happening around us, Jesus is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's the hope we talk about.
Right? In verse 4, our inheritance, he's been kept for us, not by man, but by God.
In verse 5, we have been kept for our inheritance. So it's a beautiful thing. God keeps us amidst what is happening. He secures us, he puts an edge around us, and he wants to remind all of us today, who are worried. He said, you are mine. You are mine. And that which I have promised is always available to you.
You know, it's an inheritance
that cannot fade away. We can lose it.
It's an inheritance that God has given to all of us.
He will keep everything that he has promised for us.
We have been saved from the penalty of sin, the power of sin, and the presence of sin. But God in Christ has secured us.
By his grace, one day, all of God's people are going to reap what God has promised for us. Know that there, in this life, there are people sometimes they won't do anything ungodly in order to gain earthly inheritance. But anything that is of this world is transient, is destined to pass away. But I'm talking about this hope that Jesus gives, that amidst everything, in Christ Jesus, one day, you and I are going to sit before the King of Kings, and we are going to worship him for all eternity.
The second thing from this text, a third thing from this text that I give to you. It's a hope that will keep us going even through trials. It's a hope that will keep us going even through trials. If it was in this life, that you and I have hope.
We may be men and women most miserable. I am amazed when I look around and I see mighty leaders across this world. They are confused. They don't know what to do.
Then I said, if there is a lesson that we as God's people need to learn, put your hope in Jesus.
But man cannot find the cure, but Jesus has the cure. Man might know how, but Jesus knows how. Man might be searching for answers, but Jesus is still the answer.
It's the hope that keeps us going through trials. And to worry sometimes. Uncertain about what is going to happen tomorrow. But this hope in Christ gives me the assurance that he who holds my today is in charge of my tomorrow. Amen.
This hope gives me the assurance that the sovereign creator is in charge of creation.
Bigger than my problems is my chief. So we are crushed by this coronavirus. social distancing. But there is no social distance in Christ. Because I didn't believe you are. Maybe you're quarantined this morning, but you're locked up in Jesus. Hallelujah. He comes to you where you are. Maybe I'm talking to somebody today. You're saying that the pastor, because of the government restriction and because of my age, I cannot go out. I'm locked in the home. Let it get out. Repair the lifted up of Jesus. Hold the pure delight of a single home that the poor that's wrong has paid. When I kneel in prayer, I commune. Praise God. You don't have to come to church to our church. But you cannot rush it anywhere you are, because Jesus is right there with you. But there are trials in the way. But life was not designed to be easy or free. But too many people, they still have a false philosophy that says life should be easy. The sad reality is that even some Christians are seduced by this false philosophy at times. And we wonder why we go through struggles. We wonder where we go through trials. But we all have struggles. My struggle might not be your struggle, but we all have struggles in life. Can I say to you today that if you are seeking to find paradise on earth, you are going to be disappointed. If you are seeking to find the world that is devoid of problems, you are going to be disappointed. But I know a Savior who is my burden bearer. I know a Savior who is my Redeemer. I know a Savior who can break chains. I know a Savior who can open doors. I know a Savior who can rescue the perishing and care for the dying. His name is So no matter what storm cloud they rock, this ship of life, the light of the sea, hallelujah, praise God. Aren't we aware that life has many storms, but there is still one voice that stills the storms of life? Aren't we aware that in those such a we are going to be battered and bruised by circumstances of life, but Jesus Christ is still Lord. Hope. Hope. In trials. Praise God. Peter said it in 6 of the 10th. In this, you can greatly rejoice. Though now, for a little while, it needs be, you have been grieved by various trials. Why am I saying it? The trials of life are shaping you for the future. Do you think that you can prepare for glory more easily than liquor can be prepared for earthly use?
He gives you the answer. He gives you the answer right there in verse 7. That the genuineness of your faith be more precious than a gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire. Maybe found more praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ.
The Lord of God is in the process of breaking us, of molding us, and then God is going to fill us.
You know, I am grateful to God that when I'm submissive to the will of God, that whatever God is doing, ultimately, God is going to get the praise.
Maybe as a nation, maybe as a world, we have been on the fast track.
No time for family. No time even for ourselves. But maybe God is slowing us down. And God is saying to us, look, you may think you are mighty, but you are not as you think you are.
There is a source of power that is greater than you and I had today. You see, the beautiful thing about it is that many are worried. Millions are losing their jobs.
The stock market is not as buoyant as it used to be. And there is fear that there is going to be a global recession.
Are taking place.
But amidst everything, here is the message that God is still in charge. And God can still fix what needs to be fixed.
Isn't this the kind of message that needs to resonate in the hearts of men today?
That we are not what we think we are.
Because without God we are empty, we are hopeless. But there is a source, a river that flows. And you can come to this river today. Find your hope, find your help, find your strength in the mighty God. In the midst of our disappointment, take comfort in the fact that God is ready to glorify himself in the midst of a trial.
Hope in the midst of difficulty.
How do we know that there is hope for Jesus?
Ask the lepers in the Bible. No cure for leprosy. Lives that were hopeless. People who were quarantined just like we are today.
Who had no future.
But just the thought of Jesus caused the leper to cry out for mercy.
There is something about Jesus that brings hope to the hopeless.
There's something about Jesus where we do not look at the past. But like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we can approach the power of furnace. For the hope is not in the furnace, but the God who stands with us through the furnace.
Like Daniel, hope in God. Create courage in the midst of fear. We have seen it in the Old Testament. We have seen it in the New Testament.
And today, we must demonstrate it as we live in the now. People will understand that God is still on the job. He will not abandon us. His faithfulness will always be there. But I believe that I close this sermon today. That sometimes when we go through the trials, God is rubbing off the rough edges. God is using his own sandpaper to rub off the rough edges. Now pray that after we are through this storm, Jesus will be given the glory. When I thought I was strong, Corona has proven to me that I'm weak. When I thought that I had the answer, Corona has proven to me that Jesus Christ is still the answer. And today, I want to talk to you. I want to say to you that it is normal to be fearful. It is normal to wonder what is going to happen next. It's a part of humanity. But this sermon today is merely saying to you and I that the strongest of us is weak without Jesus. It's that kind of sermon that is saying to you and I that in all that is going on all around the world, may you turn your eyes upon Jesus. May you look in his wonderful face and the things of this world will go strange again. Momentarily, I'm going to pray for you after we have prayed this song that I want to say to you. And maybe there is someone who is related to you today, who is affected by this virus. Maybe they have lost their jobs. Maybe they are in quarantine. Maybe they have tested positive. Maybe they are underlying issues. Maybe there is somebody who is listening to me, and maybe you are fearful. But the only thing I say to you today, put your life in the hand of the man who can still the waters of your life. I want to pray for somebody today. Let go, let God. Do not be consumed by fear. But bigger than your problems is your God. Mightier than the mightiest is your God. Greater. As we listen to this song, I want you to begin to pour your hearts to God. And I want you maybe, if you are viewing us live streaming, you just write your prayer request and we will pray for you. Because I still believe that problems are just an opportunity for God to reveal his glory in your life. As we listen to this song, I'm going to pray for you right after.
God. How much we give you thanks for the fact that whatever is happening around us, you are God. You have not changed. And God, we thank you today that every problem can be resolved by our faith in you. So God, I lift up your people across this world today. So many questions. So many questions, God. Questions that many of us will never get the answer to. But God, I pray today that those who are burdened, those who are troubled, those who are worried, those who are hurting, whatever they are going through, God, I pray that they will stretch their faith to you right now, God. You who can still the troubled waters. You who is still on your throne. God, I pray, God, that bodies that are sick will feel your healing touch. Hearts that are weak will be strengthened by the power of your Holy Spirit. Lives that are groping in darkness will step out in your Shekinah glory. God, I pray that we will not allow our problems to consume our life. God, give us the wisdom to be a people that is not searching for human understanding and human solution. But God, we will lift our faith to you, God. But God, you still break chains. You still open doors. You still do the impossible, God. In the name of Jesus, right now, I pray that you will place your hand upon the lives of people right now, God, that they will understand that what was deemed impossible have now been made possible because we have turned over everything to you, God. Greater is he that is in me than anything that this world will show against us. What a wonderful thing to know, God, that you are Lord of the universe. What a wonderful thing to know, God, that you can take a problem and turn it into an opportunity for greatness. May we cast our fear on you right now, cast our problems on you right now, God, and allow you through your Holy Spirit to minister to us. I pray for that mother that is worried about her children. I pray for a family that is worried about the economic future. I pray for people who might be in situations that they're wondering what is going to happen tomorrow, God. May they understand that the God of the mountain is still God of the valley. The God of the good times is still God of the bad times. You have not changed. If you are in the midst of our hearts today, in the midst of our life, even though the storms of life are raging, there is still that sweet, still voice that is speaking. He's still. And know that I am God. The stillness of his hour, God, may you speak. Amidst the noise, amidst the chaos all around us, may you speak up. Speak a word of God into the hands of your people. God, we give you the honor, we give you the glory. Give us the will, therefore, to let go and let God.